Anomalous Anonymous and our Mage the Awakening Chronicle Into the West. Shout out to everybody who likes, comments, subscribes, but especially our Patreon supporters. 1D4Con, James, Adele, Alice, Alexander, Alstrit, Bernie, Chris, Doc, Emil, Jeff, Catfeathers, Klaus, Meteor V Bunny, no, Milo V3, Moku, Mozart D Minor, Nick, Other Guy, Perry, Fug, Polkadot, Hubris, Puppeteer, Raffio, Shekstara, Starfish, Terran, The Nowhere King, This Is Hype, Thomas, Tom, and Vortex. Y'all, just one missed scroll. I scrolled and then just everything just fell out of my head. Trying to read a list. Who knew? I've been only doing this for like a billion and so episodes. Anyways, hi, welcome back. We're back with Ash and Helena / Max causing, well, actually, no, you haven't really caused too much of a ruckus up in New York
yet.
We saw a sort of familiar face. But specifically spoke with a bunch of the Consilium in New York City, thanks to Eggrock kind of giving a little nudge and elbow here, and kind of got a nice little handshake agreement. Nothing big and official, no major O's spoken, other than, hey, take this new guy here, Red Dread, and let him know what you know, and you know, we'll see what kind of support we can send your way, because if this god machine thing is real, then yeah, maybe it is a threat that we need to look at, but we are kind of in a patchwork quilt of brushing elbows against Seer sanctums all over New York City, and outright mage war would be a big problem, generally speaking. But in this case, we don't even have like our side of the city, your side of the city. It's just all interwoven. I legitimately don't remember where we had left off, other than you'd been speaking with Red Dread, kind of gave him a rundown of stuff. And I think that's kind of where we left it.
Yeah, we ended with like the Consilium, the council or whatever, dismissing and just kind of leaving me and Red Dread together to basically talk to this guy, and then they all left.
Yep.
So.
Yes. Okay. Perfect. So we pick up there. Red Dread, like I said, young guy, new guy, smart, quick. He's got a still pretty strong accent, but I almost said eager to please, but that's not quite right. Eager to prove himself would probably be a better way to say it. Maori tattoos, six guns. Well, now that the Consilium has left, he
pulls those guns.
Well, and specifically goes in I don't know who would actually be providing protection. I guess probably some of the other adamantine arrow at the door, who would have disarmed him. Technically you, but I don't imagine that Helena ever carries guns. She doesn't feel like...
No.
Yeah.
She's like... And at this point, she kind of just keeps her sword in a pocket dimension. So anytime she needs it, she'll just sort of materialize it.
Yeah. That works. So he kind of settles the six guns into his holsters. Definitely has the look of... like he's more comfortable now that he's got them, you know, his self is complete. So kind of looks to you and says, so Max, what do we do now?
I was thinking we find some of these factories that they've got. I can show you a couple of the ones that we've disrupted and just raise hell.
Like he grins. Like there's a moment where, because I'm sure the fact that you're an apostate and like you left the adamantine era is kind of known. And so he's expecting that maybe you've kind of gone soft. Maybe you're one, I cannot remember the name of them, but the adamantine era who kind of go pacifist. He's not quite sure. And then you're like, oh, no, we're going to go fuck some shit up. And he just, there's this big grin, the like kitted and candy store. He's like, yes, ma'am. I think I'm on board for that. And like, again, pats the holsters and does a little bit of a dog whistle, call, and out of the air and like crawling through wall comes a motley crew of spirits, shifting in from the incorporeal to the, actually manifesting. And it's absolutely like the who's who of the carnivore section of the zoo, right? Some big, you're kind of big cats, a big bird just sits atop his head and just kind of does a big show of force. And they're, of course, spirits, so they're a little bit more unusual. And he just has like a big grin and he's like, okay, as long as we can take my friends, but I'm wherever we want to go. Sure.
Sounds great. Okay. Well, first of all, do you want to go see the ones my cabal and I have dealt with? I don't know how much we'll still be there to look at, but it could help you get an idea of what we're looking for. So you can see any signatures or traces that you can send any of these folks out to search for.
Okay. Yeah, let's start there. And if they've cleaned up the place, then there's probably nothing, but at least we can take a look and have an idea of what you've been dealing with. And then on our end, to not belabor the point, so we can get into new stuff, I imagine you take them to the plantation.
Yeah, we go there first. That's the one that I think they've probably cleaned up already.
It's some CIA cover-up kind of shit. You get there. When you left, this place was burning down. Now, there is a completely different plantation house. They are still growing sugarcane, but the mill has been shifted in place. There's a new dock. This place looks like nothing is on the same foundations. This is a completely different plantation, effectively. It's also still active, or at least this one is, which means that there's a whole new population of enslaved folks that are there because you took the last group out.
We took them all.
Yeah. And so it's completely back in action. And very quickly, the both of you are like, oh, shit. Okay, people are here. But there's no sign of anything hinky. He can confirm for you, as Isabel did when you guys had shown up before. Previously, there were no spirits.
Yeah.
Now there are all the kind of normal spirits you would expect. The ley lines that you'd seen that had just been stripped down to just pain and suffering. Nothing like that. It's just a complete wash. There's, other than the curvature of the river, this is completely, and it's definitely one of those, this is the right place. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, as long as it doesn't seem like they're doing anything here, like, I guess the plantation owner who before had been like a hollow person, essentially. Did the people here? I mean, I don't have mind. I can't check that, actually.
No, but you do have,
I have one dot.
Yeah, I was going to say that and death one. So neither of them are really good for delving into, like, are they real people? Beyond, hey, they all have souls. They all have active minds. Yeah, so a quick, like, we're not going to yoink a bunch of people out. Because it's going to help, but long term, we have bigger fish to fry right now.
And also at this point, I don't actually know if I could get them to Purgatory Bluff because going that direction.
Yeah, going west is not an easy thing for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No. But yeah, quick check and just kind of poking around, a little incognito presence. Everything here seems mundane. Okay. Very much like the seers came through, the serpents came through, burned everything down, cleansed everything. There's no signature Nimbus left behind for you guys. And you know, this, the last time y'all were here was months ago, I think, at this point.
They, they have scrubbed and reseeded.
Yeah, effectively. So,
okay. Great. Well, honestly, I wasn't expecting to find anything here. These people have been pretty good at covering their tracks. So we came here last. They were actively burning it down.
Yep.
Okay, so, I'll take you to London.
Yep. Run that down with Red Dread. Return to London, which is also much easier for you to teleport to because that's recent enough that I think your spell is still active. And you know, I imagine do the tactical thing of like, let's scry through first. Okay, cool. And teleport in. And you're able to return to that same pocket dimension. Or what had been at the time a quarantine, excuse me, not a pocket dimension, where this whole section was just pulled out of existence, but it still existed.
Just kind of shifted slightly to the side.
Yeah. Now it's properly in position where it belongs. It is empty. It is boarded up. There's a little bit of dust accumulating, and the very comfortable feel of your spell is in here. And it's a different vibe. Obviously, it's, you know, it's abandoned and it's closed down, but it's more of get the fuck out rather than cover up operation. You guys spend a couple minutes and there's signs of signature Nimbus. There's traces of things that were left behind. It was very much a get out and go thing. And it doesn't take you much thought. Of course they left. There is an Imperial Magic Arcmaster's spell in here that they probably tried to move. And you probably felt clashes of wills and just kind of like, okay, keep trying. Yeah, because it's still technically in your spell control because I don't remember you making it like indefinite and walking it away. Yeah. No. So it's sitting in your spell control and they were just like, well, we can't move it. Weird as it is, the meme of Thor leaving Mjolnir on top of a toilet seat came to mind where it's just like, what am I going somewhere else, I guess. And just like they couldn't do anything with it. It's completely tainted there. Everything they try to do with it, because it's not that the resonance and ley line doesn't flow. It's still there. It's still active. Just every time they try to do something with it, it goes fucked.
It's keyed specifically to not work for whatever they want it for.
Yep. It's enchanted with fuck fascists. So,
other people could use it.
Yeah. So that is also when Red Dread, who, you know, looks at the spell because it's prime, which is not exactly his specialty, but it does touch on spirit and resonance. And he kind of is looking at this spell and looking back to you, looks back to the spell and just kind of grins. I have no idea how you did this, but I think I love it.
It's good, right?
It's very good. And as he's like just very zoned in on the spell, the rest of his little spirit menagerie move out throughout the space and are doing very animal things. You know, you've got a literal wolf, you know, sniffing at stuff. And then occasionally some of them stop and do stuff with your little one dot of spirit. You just kind of get a weird tingle and it's like, what was that? As all of a sudden, you know, the big bird is suddenly channeling some noumena in order to, you know, draw in some information or, you know, feast on another spirit that's kind of wandered through. And they're just very much like doing their own thing. And as far as you've seen, Red Dread didn't even say anything to them. They just went to work. But yeah, he stands with you and talks about what you had seen here, what you had found on the other side of the portal effectively, and the step into the God machine, which obviously is not here. Yeah, I'll pause there if there's anything Max wants to throw in on that.
No, mostly just trying to gather as much information of whatever might be left here as possible so that we can then use that to seek out new other places where they are doing things like this.
Gotcha. Yeah, so the big...
Just watching his spirits gathering.
It's like
Yep.
With your prime specifically, you're able to assist and pick up a bunch of the signature Nimbus that are in here that don't match the other Serpent stuff that you know. What you would expect is a bunch of other mages, unlikely to be Serpents, but probably somewhere in that hierarchy. Probably some of the more gopher ground level mages.
Yeah, they have people.
Yep.
So there's
definite signs of other mages being involved. So those are kind of mentally cataloged of like, these are, you know, accomplices, and or at least they're effectively their fingerprints.
Yep.
And then Red Dread.
You're just like filing them away as accomplices.
It's like other people to kill on site. I mean, collect on site. Yeah. And Red Dread kind of joins up with the spirits and is talking with them in high speech. And if I remember correctly, you're fluent in on that.
No.
It's
I've only got the basic.
The basic, yeah. Yeah, so you can hear and understand just fine, but speaking it is more of a problem. But yeah, it's Legba and Solace that are the ones that
have the fluent.
The nerds of the group. So he's, you can't quite tell if he's flexing or it's just more comfortable for him to just talk with the spirits, but has conversation, high speech with them, kind of getting information. A lot of the stuff that they seem to be relaying back is more about the different resonances and the signs of passing of other spirits. Very, very like, this is this guy's thing, is spirit. And so he's trying to bend all of that he can to this. It doesn't really get anything that you don't already know, unfortunately, because spirits weren't really involved in this. But he comes back and says, okay, cool.
Can they find another one?
Probably. The biggest sign for these seems to be they all just completely tweak and alter resonance into a single focus point to a single emotion or thought that would distract from awakening or any kind of upward thinking. And that's something you all have already established. So with that, if we send them through Twilight, they might be able to find something, but this is in kind of, you know, points out the window and it's like, this is London. The other was in Mississippi. World is a real big place.
We kind of stumbled on this accidentally. I'm glad we did, because now we can attempt to do something about it. But they have a leg up on us.
And they know that we're after them. So, and like this place, they may not even be in the material where it is supposed to be. So these are going to be a challenge, and kind of like looks at his, and I say menagerie, but we're talking like six or seven spirits, and actually just for the ease of advanced reach, he's probably got 10 because I think that's the second tier up of these familiars. He's like, I'm gonna need a lot more friends in a lot more places if I'm gonna do this by myself. And like you can tell he's not like discounting that you're going to be assisting, but he's trying to be like, how can I help? So I can collect, more spirits. I can even make a few for a short time, but that's still a lot of globe to cover. And if they're trying to be more and more hidden, I imagine they're going to be more like the plantation and out of urban centers and places where a lot of people are, but tucked away where they're less likely to be found.
Yes. This one, we believe, was a bit of an anomaly. It is in their backyard. I can, like, point at where Trigander's office is. Yeah, I don't think most of them will be in places like this. There are some emotions that would do well being farmed, in more urban places. Things that require lots of people. I'm thinking of things like the hedonism type thing. Those I can see being more urban. Because, yeah, we saw people there that were servants, creators of the cogs for all sorts of things. Some of them were, they weren't all slaves toiling.
Yeah, some were more slaves to their desires. Which he then kind of smiles and he's like, well, if we want to pick that particular resonance, we could focus in on urban centers. I mean, the world is big, but there's not that many major cities with decadence. We could limit our search to that.
I feel like that's a good place to start, rather than just having the whole globe.
Well, I'm on board for a, how would the hierarch say this, a fact-finding mission.
Very and diplomatic, yes.
If we happen to get caught during the fact-finding mission, then obviously, you know, violence may be a unfortunate necessity.
We'll have to defend ourselves.
It's like he's grinning and grinning. He's like, okay, no, cool. We're on the same page about this. He says, okay, in that case, if you can handle transport as you have been, I can handle letting loose spies into Twilight. We can stop by a few different cities. I think we could probably manage several cities in a day, depending on how well you can get us around the globe.
I actually don't know how well I can do that, like, out of character. Actually,
and for yeah. you, yes. Oh, wait, yeah, you're at space 4. Okay, hang on, I gotta remember my restrictions here. I need
to
find
connections to move.
Because is it Webweaver? Yes. Yeah. So Webweaver is a unique spell in the fact that it can knock. Its intent is to move existing sympathetic connections up a step per potency. It can step up non-existent connections to a weak one and therefore higher, but only if the subject of the spell, i.e. you, have been in contact with the desired focus within the last turn. For example, a person likely has no sympathetic connection to the soda cup from her lunch, but as long as it's in her hand, the mage can use the fate sympathy created by the physical contact to make the cup into a sympathetic connection to that person. So while you don't have space five to just snap your fingers and create a connection, you could, with a little bit of clever investigation and find some things.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like a little bit of sleuthing around the city to find something from this place.
Yep.
And then, yeah.
To remember Drifter, one of the go-tos is the post office.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking I would like, it's like we're looking for big fancy cities. Let's go to Paris. We're in London. I can find a Parisian wine to touch.
Oh, yeah. There you go. I like that. Yeah, very much the same kind of thing. But wine is actually a really good way to do it. And going from connection to connection that way, from major metropolitan location to another. I like that. And that's much more of a Max approach than Drifter's very practical. I'm going to the post office. I'm going to flash a badge. They're going to let me in. Yeah. Yep, exactly. Okay, I like that. Without need to delve into the details of going to a wine store, you and Red Dread and his menagerie that fade into the background, head to a wine shop, find a good Parisian wine that feels like it's, you know, actually from Paris. A couple of these that you look at, you're looking at the bottle, you're looking at the label, you look over at the shopkeeper.
It doesn't feel right.
Yeah, move to the next bottle and pick up a connection and fling yourself to Paris. To jump us to the interesting stuff, you go through a couple different, and specifically we're looking for this location of decadence, right? You hit Paris, you hit a couple places in Italy, because let's be real, Rome and the Vatican, sure, okay, probably not, but outside.
Like Venice.
Yeah. Venice, yeah. Naples, some of those, and just do this little world hopping little jaunt across some places, and then let me double check.
Find a properly decadent 1860 city.
Let's see. Do-do-do-do-do. I'm trying to make sure that I have the correct name. When did we change the name? Yes, we're going to Constantinople.
Okay.
Yes. When did we change the name? 1928? Yeah, I think so. 1928 is when they started using Turkish names for Turkish cities. Yeah. So,
Istanbul.
Yeah. So I think in the 1850s, we are still Constantinople. And straddling, you know, new world, old world, orthodoxing Catholicism, east and west, and some of the biggest markets the world has ever seen in, you know, 1857. I think we're still trucking right along. But yeah, we arrive amidst, you know, in my mind, you know, and this is, you know, just the appropriate thematic thing. It's been, you know, a handful of hours. Like, you've been at this, arriving in a place, sending out a bunch of little spirits of desire, hedonism, you know, enjoyment. Through the cities and being like, okay, well, there's little hot spots, some of them that you actually visit, but most are just like, oh, it's a brothel. Oh, it's an opium den.
It's a normal place.
Right. It's just normal decadence. Coming into Constantinople as like the sun is setting, there's gas lights. It's, you know, the kind of prime hedonism time, right? The sun is set. Some of the misbehavior is starting up, and the two of you are, you know, we'll say, was it the Basilica? What is that the place I'm thinking of? San Marco Basilica? No, that's in Venice. Okay, either way, one of the numerous enormous churches there, and you know, kind of towards the center of the city, and Red Dread kind of loosing out this squad of spirits to report back, and it's similar to before. And at this point, I think you guys have gotten into a routine of how you do things and a little bit of the like, and it's another miss, and it's another miss. We've hit numerous cities. Neither of you have fate magic to make this easier, so you just have to do it, you know, the grind. But at the same time, it's not a ton of effort to teleport great spirits. Wait, it's just a waiting game. But this time,
I mean, it is, it's not unpleasant, right? Hopping around assorted cities, go get a drink or a glass of wine while the spirits do their search.
Yeah.
Super nice little walk.
There's probably even a little part where it's the like, ooh, I can get where the seers come from of like, yeah, let me just use magic to just kind of do whatever. And it's like, ooh, yeah, this is a slippery slope. It's not left-handed, but it's a slippery slope. You can see how wisdom can drop in, you know, kind of maybe even appreciate where how Legba lives and the fact that he's very, very stringent on the magic. And it's like, oh, yeah, I can see. Yeah. But this time, one spirit, then another, then another, then another. They're coming back in a drove. He's sending out like a hundred or so of these, and several would come back after finding a thing. And in this case, it's 5, 10, 15, 20 of them. And they're all coming from, you know, one quarter of the city. And Red Dread kind of looks at you and it's like, because you've had some of these come back and nothing, but not like this. And he smiles and like, shifts and adjusts his vest, jiggles the holster. He's like, I've got a terrible feeling about this, he says with an enormous grin.
We should really go check it out. See what they're reporting on.
Yeah. And the two of you sorry, my brain was like, wait, isn't that, the Hagia Sophia?
Yeah.
But it hit me all of a sudden. I was like, oh, wait, yes. Which in 1850s is a mosque. And yeah, you guys are led towards it. Led towards it? Yeah. And as you get closer, you know, I believe at this point, sun has set, the call to prayer has come and gone, and people are moving about more normally. People are, you know, finding rest. I guess probably here, you're probably not finding any wine. And there's some, you know, glances your way, which probably result in a very invisible pair of mages moving through the streets. And as you get closer to, is it the Hall of Wisdom? Is that what Hagia Sophia? Anyways, the vibe is definitely, it's not icky. It's actually kind of like, this could be fun. And especially, I think, since you mentioned it, having the couple glasses of wine and enjoying yourself, and then you get here and you're like, oh no. Ooh, hang on. Regretting the cup of wine. For those of you into the 40K universe, this is some Slaanesh vibes. It's like, oh, this is going to be bad. as you get closer, the mosque itself, kind of set up on a hill, is not the epicenter, but beneath. And the spirits are basically drawing you down there. And Red Red looks to you and says, I can escort us into twilight and we can follow the spirits that way and find pathways beneath. But there may be other guardians there that we don't encounter here. This is entirely Ash's decision.
Yeah. That seems... I still think that might be safer. Being able to move essentially through, so we're not trying to find our way down.
You like, still you have to
go inside.
You still have to go through like pathways and stuff, because even in twilight, solid surfaces are solid. But you don't have to deal with any sleepers, generally speaking. And
they shouldn't be there.
Right. And anything that you do come across, you can probably blast, because it's not going to be something overt. So
that seems like a good plan.
So he reaches over, kind of, you know, in a gentlemanly, you know, take the hand, and with just another little spell, step you both into twilight. The world around you kind of fades into a little bit of a filmy gray. Everything's still very visible, but it's behind that haze. Here, though, that hedonism resonance is more.
I feel like the air feels sticky.
Yes, I was going to say oily or sticky, and it's just like, and it's very much like you walk into the movie theater and your feet kind of stick to the floor. Yeah, it's just like, oh no. You find with these, I in my head, I'm imagining just these fat, happy, winged pixie things that are just giggling and like half drunk themselves are these spirits that are leading you about, lead you.
Oh, like the little fat cherubs.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, little inhuman, but definitely you get the vibe of what they're supposed to be. And
Dionysus vibes.
Yes. And
probably is the Fantasia-esque Dionysus of just like,
yes, yeah, little, right, little out
fat
of
grapes man full of his things of wine.
Yep. As soon as you said Fantasia, I was like, I know, yep. And it's a, you know, what would be a sturdy iron gate, you know, sealing off, you know, some lower level that's just very easy to bypass within the shadow. Nope, excuse me, within twilight. We're not in the shadow. And
I don't go there.
Yeah, I know. For you, this is like, okay, this is weird. And that's true, because here you're seeing way more spirits. Because normally in you know, the material plane, you don't see anything unless they come through and materialize like red spirits have. Here, all the ones that are just enjoying resonance or occasionally preying on mortals who are particularly tied to a particular resonance. Yeah, so this is, you know, a lot more active than you're used to seeing. Though I guess now that you do have Spirit One, you can poke your head into some of this.
I just generally don't.
Right. It's like, I have it if I need it. Passing a wrought iron, nondescript gate, following these giggly little drunken Fantasia imps, or cherubs, excuse me, kind of both. It definitely takes you into the catacombs beneath everything. I can't remember the mountain or hill that it's on. And you can hear the music starting to waft up, you know, loud, boisterous, you know, a great party sound. But as you get down deeper, you can hear singing, laughter, screams of delight, few occasional scream of pain. And it's just like, oh, yeah. To keep this on the, you know, moderately PG-13, occasionally R, but, you know, and as any of you know, I am squeamish when it comes to anything sexual on this stream. It's a party. And I think Helena, with her at least nominal background, is just like, oh my goodness. Red Dread probably, yeah. Red Dread probably also like blushing, but like from your vantage point coming into what is literally built into the catacombs and different chambers and stuff like that, it's a party. It's drunken hedonism. It's drugs. There are people very much enjoying themselves. Some people not quite enjoying themselves in a non-consensual way. And it's absolutely, yeah, it Dionysus. It's a bacchanal. and yeah, this is just like crank to 11 party. There's no I take that back. Would you, yeah, let's do a presence plus composure roll to see what signs you might find.
I have 6.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. 2 successes. Okay. Yeah.
Statistically probable.
Yeah. Well, specifically for me, I was looking to see how many successes we got here. With 1 success, you're able to determine that, yeah, this is more than sleeper norm. Like, the stuff that's happening here is not really outside of what might happen in a brothel. But for it to be down here, this very like exposed to one another, because, you know, at least in the brothel, they have the decency to go into a room. Right. You know, some of this is very orgy-esque where it's just out and about and everybody can see. It's like, OK, that's a bit to the extreme. But then here and there you spot, especially using Mage Sight, little things that are just like, oh, that's a little bit of a mind spell over here. Here's a little prime touch there. It is not tweaked up the way the previous places were, where somebody had grabbed hold of ley lines and shifted them into a specific effect. They're trying to basically just do it right here, and they're not worried about trying to use ley lines to build it up. In this particular case, though, the activities of the sleepers that are involved are also cranked up to 11 to effectively get the same effect. Where
they're being nudged.
Logically. Right. Where Jeremiah just suffered, and things were orchestrated to make Jeremiah's life fucking suck. Magic wasn't really used in it. The place just sucked to begin with, and then you had the ley lines kind of building that up. In the factory, there was, you know, a ley line of tedious work and constant effort going to it, and people just kind of worked and clearly were like having their day jobs, and like they were coming and going, but that was all like pretty normal work. Other than the fact that once you started to track where all the boxes were going, it was like, this feels monotonous and endless and not really doing anything. Yeah. In this case, it's very clear there's little spells, little spots, not on any of the sleepers themselves, but in the place. So people are, you know, being brought here, and then they kind of succumb to their worst natures, base instincts.
Okay, and like their actions are what are making the resonance and such.
Yep.
Okay. I imagine Helena is like trying very hard to not be incredibly awkward Like, just gonna turn to Rodred and be like, so I don't want to harm the people. These are just sleepers who have fallen into this. So shall we undo the spells encouraging them? Maybe also encourage them to leave.
He smiles, and I think both of you are doing the we're not looking at each other, we're just having conversations.
Yep, I'm not making eye contact.
He says, that sounds like a good idea. I won't be able to help removing the spells. I don't think you'll have any problem doing
that. I can
handle that. But I have a couple ideas of encouraging them to disperse, and like is looking at his rather large wolves. So he says, I'm prepared to do that. Do we want to, before we disrupt things, do we want to see if there's another path out of here? Like you had mentioned before, into the machine? Or do we just want to disrupt this and leave?
If it does have a path into the machine, that would be good to go in there and muck it up if we can. I know that nothing we can do to that right now will last. They'll fix it. But if we can delay it, we're basically trying to buy time until we can make a more definitive strike against it.
Okay. In that case, would you give me a Gnosis plus space roll? As basically you search out for any iris that would lead from this place.
That's 10. 10 should do it.
It should do it.
No!
Okay.
I should have given the willpower to it.
Well, I like this. This actually works out very, very well, because that is effectively a clash of wills. I did want to say that beforehand. You cast the space spell, and you have been an Arcmaster for a little while now. You're used to finding other spells, bumping into them, and just running roughshod over them. You cast the spell, feel a clash, and then the clash.
And I don't win.
Right, and the clash fights back. And you go, hold up.
Okay.
There is something here. But your spell doesn't reveal it.
Okay. Let's do this quickly then.
I was going to say, I will also point out that whoever is on the other end of that spell, they are aware. They may not be aware of what spell clashed, but they're going to do a quick head count. So,
I feel like we have made ourselves invisible, right? Mm-hmm. Or incognito.
Yeah, well, you're in invisible. Twilight for now.
Mm-hmm. Can I dispel a spell from in Twilight?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, your perceptions work just as well from in Twilight out. Normally there is a difficulty for spirits to cross into Twilight and interact with stuff. Mages do not have that issue as long as they can perceive to the other side, which you can.
Okay, cool. They have to have reaching to be able to go across, yeah?
Yep.
All right. Well, on that note, I'm just like, let's make this quick. I'm just going to start walking around zapping spells.
Do you even explain to him why?
I think he should get it.
Sure.
he's a perceptive kid.
I love the idea of just calm, cool Max. She's a little embarrassed right now, but okay, let me just... Never mind, let's go. And he goes...
Yep, let's go.
Huh? And quickly moves to one end of the chamber, and you watch as he touches two of these large... Well, one's a wolf, one is like, you know, big cat. And they shift into the material. And again...
throwing a tiger into the orgy.
Effectively, yes. There is a large cat. We'll say tiger. Sure, why not? It doesn't look like... It looks like it is big cat. Not necessarily... Yeah. And then what is absolutely totally a like prehistoric dire wolf pop into existence, and there is... the continued sound, and then all of a sudden, like, you know, the record scratch and like
people start screaming
and shout and people getting up and moving, and all of a sudden as you're zap zap zapping spells, and these spells do not hold up to you dispelling them, then people are kind of coming back to their senses, and you know, some of them are, you know, in the midst of a thing and enjoying themselves. But then there's a wolf, and they're like, you know what? Never mind. And it is, some people are getting hurt. People are getting trampled. There's
the chaos. Wolf.
Yeah. Yes, there is just absolute mayhem. Very much kick the anthill.
Yeah, I'm trying to encourage them to leave and not want to come back. So that's, yep. I'm fine with this level of chaos and casualties.
Yeah.
As long as no one's like dying.
Right. Of note, nobody doing the escaping is dying.
Some of the people might have been.
You see, yeah. As Red Dread actually steps out of Twilight as a lot of people are leaving and reaches over and removes people from structures, lay hands on and heal some wounds and like nudge people away. And very much a putting himself at risk in term magically speaking, by leaving his signature Nimbus on some stuff and also risking some paradox. But it's just a very much like he doesn't even think about it. He's just like, be healed, fix up your wounds, stop bleeding from some rather gnarly wounds, leave.
Yeah.
And
there were probably some people in here being tortured because also yes. Some people are.
Yep. Yep. Big emphasis here on non-consensual.
I would try to help him out with that too. If we start seeing like the people on meat hooks or whatever.
She's yeah.
Like, okay, let's get them out.
Yep. And some of them, you know, fortunately, will have terrible memories of this, but literally bad memories of whatever the heck, like the quiescence and dissonance. Well, the quiescence specifically is going to paint a very interesting tale of this memory, but this is going to be a trauma memory that they're going to stuff down anyways. But with that in mind, I'm going to ask you to roll an act of hubris. Mm-hmm. Haven't had to do one of these in a minute, but...
What is that again?
It's going to be a set of... I think for this, it's going to be 3 dice. Where's my wisdom? Let's see here. Blah, 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 blah. Allowing a sleeper to witness obvious magic. So it is a 3 dice check. Let's see here. However, your obsessions, virtues, and vices may affect this.
I don't think they do.
I don't believe that your obsessions, which we haven't really covered, affect this. What is your virtue right now?
Virtue is loyal. So and that, my vice is isolated.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, neither of those really apply. So yeah, a roll of 3 dice, please.
Is there anything to... I've forgotten how to roll just 3 dice.
I usually just do spell roll and put in a 3. Because that'll also give us the successes. Okay.
I failed real bad.
Well, on the 3, 2, 1. Yeah, that's true. On the plus side, I'm not going to ask if you want to take a dramatic failure. Though I guess you could.
No.
Yeah. So, you do lose a dot of wisdom, which I don't remember where you were at.
I was at 8.
Oh, okay. So yeah, you're down to medium and understandings. You're where most mages are anyways. And then you would take the megalomaniacal or rampant condition normally. As an Arcmaster, I'll get back to you on that.
Okay.
mostly because I want to do something more fun with those, because A, megalomaniacal would be terrifying. B, well, and also kind of the Arcmaster thing anyways. I know better than everybody.
Sure you are, yeah. But,
and rampant, I really don't need you running around using magic for literally everything. So we'll address that later.
Spot spells around for everything.
Well, on the plus side, you need to get the quiescence,
right, or
the quiescence, yeah, not quiescence, quintessence. But yeah, like you definitely like are going through and setting people free. And there's a very like, I don't have time for this. I'm just going to use magic to fix the problem because yep. I'm in a hurry. And these people also shouldn't die. And yeah,
like we need to get going. Also, like I don't want to leave these people here to die.
Yep.
But we need them. We need them out. We need to get out.
Yep.
So we'll deal with consequences later.
Yep. Which is very much the point of wisdom. Wisdom is not necessarily I've made a bad decision. It's just, have we thought about the consequences? In this case,
nope.
We're going. Yeah, it is 5-10 minutes and people are still running for the hills through the catacombs up through and out into the streets. Some folks in no dress whatsoever. And, you know, stumbling behind our victims of torture. We'll just call it that. You and Red Dread are there both now in the material going, all right, good job. And Red Dread is like coming over. And it's like, that was quick and sudden. Should we leave?
Yes.
Grab like, hold.
Get your spirits. Just reach out, grab him by the shoulder, and we're gone.
Yep. And where do you teleport to?
I would take us back to New York.
Okay.
Not to like the Consilium.
Just a convenient, secluded spot.
Yeah, like somewhere where we're unlikely to be seen, okay. But just in the city somewhere.
Yep. Just get lost in the hustle and bustle. Not a problem. Helena is from here. Max knows numerous places where she can just, yeah, there's a chance the sleeper might see me pop into existence, but it's a low chance. You return back and with, you know, Red Dread effectively with a bunch of spirits under his arms, like, all right, we're getting out of here, carrying the bunch of suitcase.
Just measuring him with like a tiger under each arm.
Yep. And truthfully, what really happens is Helena is touching everybody for the spell, but it's far more interesting to have Red Dread carrying everybody.
Just everyone huddle up.
And he's kind of looking at you with a little bit of like some wild eyed, a little bit of excitement, a little bit of like anxiety, and going, can you tell me what just happened?
There was a connection to the machine. I wasn't able to get us there.
Oh.
Yes. I mean, that's, everyone said that the serpents have archmages. We didn't believe that all of them were, and we've seen proof that they're not all. But some of them
clearly are.
Did I get a resonance on that?
Mm-mm.
No.
No.
Or a nimbus, that's what it was. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. The signature nimbus, if you had been able to find the spell, then you would have been able to. But in this particular case, you tried to reveal something and could not find it. Yep. Yeah.
So, yeah, we have confirming rumor. It's not unexpected. It is unpleasant and definitely meant that we needed to get out.
Yep. He nods. Before they came. Yeah, we rang the dinner bell. Yeah, no, thank you. Okay, so I will sleep with one eye open for the next few nights. Well,
Ms. We are Helena, thankfully very far away, so.
And they would have to find exactly where we left and then track it here. We will be gone from here very soon. He says as then immediately like arm in arm with you, like, and we are leaving here.
They shouldn't have any reason to be looking for you.
No. And for his part, he left his signature Nimbus, but only on like some people that were healed. So they, you know, meta wise. Well, actually, it's not even meta. You know, the healing that he did would leave a signature Nimbus, but that itself is only going to last for a little while. So somebody has to find those people, realize that they've been healed, track it, and then they have his fingerprint. That's
who that Nimbus belongs to.
Exactly. Like, so, it would be a lot of effort to try and hunt them down. Similarly, you guys have signature Nimbus of Serpents and have stumbled into finding two of them.
Yeah.
Potentially a third, but you don't even know who it connects to. Yeah.
Yep.
So he walks with you through New York City, which, you know, at this point now is, I guess if it was dark in Constantinople, might be kind of early in New York City.
Like mid-afternoon, probably.
Yep. And walks, you know, not arm in arm inappropriately, but, you know, walks with you, you know, properly escorting a lady. Miss Max, it has been a delightful adventure. I don't think my adrenaline has quite reached that level in a while.
It went well, though, I think.
I do, well, too.
It could have gone better.
It could have gone better. It could have been much worse.
Yes. I think we did a good thing here today, and maybe any little wrench we can throw into their plans is good.
I agree. And very specifically, I've now seen three examples of some of what they might be up to, and I can probably work with some of my associates and see if we can find other locations, potentially not strike at them like we did. We might need a little bit more help or more of us, or and kind of, you know, motions at you. We're not all as talented, but this is very workable, I think.
Good. Anything helps.
And like, there's a little bit of a faraway look, and like the very much the like, I was cruising around with an Arcmaster who was teleporting us to different cities without any issue, and then got freaked out. And he's also realizing the depths of the power play here, and goes, "So, thank you for that. Thank you for your protection, and thank you for taking me along on this. I will speak with the caucus and see if we can step up from what the Consilium has offered. Because while the Consilium speaks on behalf of many orders and many mages, the caucus is many more, as you know. And maybe we can facilitate a more active role across several more cabals and teams. Because if they are doing that for merely the function of making parts of this machine, this is... Well, that was depraved, but the whole process is disgusting.
Yes, that was unpleasant, what they were doing on the plantation was just farming suffering.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it gets worse than that.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when you take into consideration, it wasn't just like, oh, we're going to make a bunch of people suffer. We're going to make one guy suffer just to literally farm suffering from him. Yep. And all that. Because I think you'd mentioned to the Consilium, like the whole point of the God Machine was to make people so into these emotions and scenarios where they would never awaken.
They never look up.
Yeah. And so the entire world would then become a mix of all of that. You know, and admittedly, some of that looked fun. But for that to be your entire life and just the only thing you think about.
It dulls the soul.
And so I think he walks you to your hotel because you'd left, you know, the, you know, this is where you can send a message to me. And then kind of gives a, you know, courteous bow and says, well, thank you again, Miss Helena, for a lovely evening. I'm going to go lie down and think about the consequences of my actions and maybe say a couple prayers.
Sounds like a fantastic plan.
And then, unless you have something else, he withdraws and heads back up.
Yeah. Okay. Go up into my room and also meditate on the consequences of my actions.
Yeah. So actually, real quick, while I'm thinking about it, I wonder if in Imperial Mysteries they have any mention of hubris, because hubris that's
ages.
Was because the Acts of Hubris that we have in second edition is a second edition thing. Degeneration is what they use in the first edition. Of all the things to find, I'm just like searching up wisdom. To erase someone in this way is a wisdom to sin, be equal to murdering them with magic. Okay.
To erase someone?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that doing the like empty presence thing?
In this particular case, it was in reference to. Oh, I got really excited. That was for Types of Ascension. That was in. Oh, Lord, I'm going to have to reset all the way back to the beginning of the book. Yeah, that's the alternate timeline, effectively, where you just erase somebody having never been born. You Marty McFly them.
Yeah. Okay. It's the equivalent of killing them.
Yep. But worse. While changing a person's past without their consent is just a sin at wisdom 6. Yeah, that's so much better. I'm pretty sure that's not the same person anymore. Anyways. Yeah, so for now, we're not going to worry about the particular condition. That'll be fun to jump into maybe next episode. That said, we are kind of at a good little pause spot, but do you want to set up what you have planned for next episode?
Well, first off, I'm going to go do some ablations. I feel like I need to
cleanse myself.
Yeah, on top of just being in the hedonism bot's room. Also just dealing with what we just did, the lingering effects it will have on the people that were there. And I feel like this is probably one of the first times she's gotten really scared since becoming an Archmage. Because, well, whatever, she's been untouchable, right? She's like, nope. No. Just a quick smack back down to earth reminder of they very likely are better than you.
Very likely they've been doing this longer.
Yeah.
Just to have the callback, do you head back to St. Peter's or no, St. Paul's?
No, I think like I'm gonna be in my room. Oh. I want solitude.
Makes sense.
And also just really thinking on, just like, oh well, yeah, they have people. I could have people.
You could have people.
Yeah, Red Dread's got a whole pack. And yeah, I could have shepherds.
Just gotta figure out how to do that.
Yep. But I know it's doable. I've seen the Seers employ them.
You've seen the Silver Ladder. They have several bloodlines that they kind of keep track of. So surely you could do this.
Yeah, I can do this.
I think I figured out your condition.
Yeah. Like that's perfect, actually.
Yeah. We don't keep track of conditions anymore, folks, just because we're not tracking beats at XP. But I think on Helena's character sheet is the condition of, I could do that. It's like, yeah. that'll be very good. Ash already thought this was a terrible idea and something somebody should never do. Now it's even worse.
Yep. I was just like, I, the player, think this is a horrible idea. Helena, this is great.
This is a perfect idea.
Who better to do this?
Than me. Very good. Okay, yeah. I think we finish with some ablations, some meditation, this bad idea gremlin popping up on her shoulder, and the good idea angel is just nowhere to be found. It's like, okay. So in the morning, you wake, check out from the hotel, and head off to Pennsylvania. For who knows what, for those of you who are reading between the lines, you can figure it out. Post in the comments below. I think with that, we will catch you all next time. Wait, hang on. I'm saying that too early. Oh, yes. If you want to come support us monetarily, that's www.staylucky.club. And if you want to come chat about terrible shenanigans, yours or ours, come by Discord, www.eatinto.space. Swing by, hang out, share stuff, tell us about, we always talk about the animals. We have a food channel, and when we are recording this, it is post Thanksgiving, pre Christmas. Show me your cakes. Show me your cookies.
Oh, and I'd be my gingerbread. I took a picture of it.
Yeah. And I do mean that in the very food related way. Please do not send me any other kind of innuendo. I don't need that. Thank you. But yes, come share your baked goods. You can share your dinner plates and stuff like that, too. But I want to see your baked goods. Thank you. And we'll see you next time. Bye, y'all.
Bye.